All right. Well, it's cool to be here. I love campgrounds. I love camping. And if you know me, I love to get away from the routine. So kind of being at a different place is probably good for us. Get us out of the norm outside, fresh perspective. It's not too hot. Praise God for that, right? Not too hot in here. But I'm glad that we're in this different spot today because it's easy to get overwhelmed with life and to get just distracted with busyness or troubles and forget the bigger picture. So I'm hoping we can get the bigger picture and that picture will be really encouraging because I think being in a different atmosphere, kind of shaking it up a little bit can help us sometimes. I go camping to just get with God. I just love to be out in the elements and just go for prayer walks and hike to the top of a mountain and look at the view and just pray and maybe sing and just read scripture and just to be at a stream where you're reading scripture is just different from being at your house. And so this is just a time to be with God together. So Blue Rocks Campground, thank you guys for letting us be here. This is great. My goal is to encourage you this morning. I got a couple of scriptures that you can look at in your Bibles. They're going to be up on the screen, but just a couple of scriptures that give us real hope. And I may not know the situation you're in. I do know the situation some of you are in, but you might be on top of the world. You're loving life. Everything is great, or you may be really struggling. And you know, I don't know where you're at, but either way, we need encouragement and we need hope. And so, everybody needs hope. This applies to anybody and everybody. So just thinking about what we sang already, a couple of things just to latch onto. Take this home with you. You have a God who loves you deeply. His love is deeper than my view of grace. It's higher than this worldly place, longer than this road I travel. You might be on a long road. It's wider than the gap he filled. God is powerful, the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. He loves us. That's pretty amazing. And God never stops working, and he's actually working right now for your good. God is doing that right now. I know that. That's not a question in my head. So that's just from the music we sang. So let's just start just a couple of thoughts, a couple of things to latch onto. And we talk about next steps. It's really important to like take this with you. If you just kind of listen and that was nice and walk away, it may not actually take root in you. So one of the next steps I want you to think about is of the scriptures that we look at, and we might look at it for a second, we might look at it for 10 minutes, grab one to take home with you. And I just want to challenge you to memorize that. If one jumps out, it encourages you today, don't let it go. Don't let it get away. Just decide, I'm going to memorize that today, this week. Carry it in your pocket all week. Go over it. So that's just on the get-go. Be watching for a scripture that you might think, yeah, I could really use thinking about that more. So number one, encouragement. Real hope is found in God. Simple, right? Except we don't really find our hope in God a lot of times. We look a lot of other places. We put our hope in all kinds of things, but real hope is found only in God. He is our hope. So just going to shoot a couple scriptures up here for you to think about that just emphasize that. Psalm 42, David, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 62, 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God, my hope comes from him. Psalm 130, verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Psalm 147, 10, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. God delights when we hope in him. He loves that. Isaiah 40, verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary. Doesn't matter how old you are. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You hope in God, he will strengthen you. 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How many people fall into that? Do not hope in wealth. It's not going to hold you up. Hope in God. And one more, Romans 15. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I don't know where your hope tank is at, depending on struggles you're in, depending on what you're thinking about, but God wants to fill you with hope. And so I'm hoping that you're going to get that. So where's your hope tank this morning? You think about that. You process that and think about, is my hope really in God or am I hoping in something else? Hope is essential. You run out of hope and you give up. We've got to have hope. And hope's what keeps us going. It's what fights discouragement, helps us overcome our obstacles, defeats depression. We need it. We need it. And real hope, this is just the beginning here. Real hope begins with Jesus. I don't know where you're coming from, but it begins with Jesus. He's our gateway to hope. So if you're struggling to hope in God, you might need to consider Jesus. You might need to consider him in a way maybe you haven't before. He was a miracle worker, right? Think about who he was, what he did when he came. Miracle worker. Amazed thousands of people. A man who was filled with wisdom, teaching the people as one with great authority. Claimed to be the Son of God. Equal with God the Father, and willingly gave up his life on a cross so we could have hope, so we could be forgiven and have peace with God. So do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? He's the gateway to real hope. You can try to put your hope in God without it, but he's the one who gives us hope. He's the one who makes it real. So that's the starting point, because everything else I say will not apply to you if you haven't entered through that gate. Jesus is the gate. You got to put your trust in him. You got to receive forgiveness from him. So if you haven't done that, that's your first step. That may be your next step for today. I've got to do something with Jesus because I haven't yet. So I just have something. If you're thinking about that, if this is you, I've got two options of books for you. You just take these home, take it home free. You don't have to pay for it anything. More Than a Carpenter, Case for Christ. These are two books that explore Jesus. So if you haven't done that, you need to. You need to explore Jesus because he makes some pretty strong claims. So these are two books written by skeptics who did not believe, and now they do, and they're absolutely convinced who Jesus is. So these are free. Take one if you want it. The rest of what I have to say is for those who have done that. Most of us, I understand, have put their trust in Jesus for forgiveness. You have hope, but maybe you have hope, but you need encouragement. Sometimes we're in that place. I got hope, but man, I'm still struggling. What's the relationship between encouragement and hope? Are they the same thing? I think encouragement feeds hope. We kind of know. We know we can hope in God, but sometimes encouragement can be that fuel to remind us and to get us back where we might need to be. So I hope that this hose will fill up your hope tank today, because I think we need encouragement. And as a church family, right now is a particularly good time to think about encouragement, because we're going through some challenging times. And we talked about it last Sunday. You know, we got real about it, that over the last several years, we've not been growing in numbers. We've been declining. And that's concerning. That's not all that there is to look at, right? But some people might be bothered by that and discouraged by that. And so we need to go back to God to get our hope. Because even though there are some concerns we have, at the same time, God is doing some amazing, awesome, powerful things among us too. And as my wife pointed out, we have more influence in our community now than we did 10 years ago when we were bigger. So two encouraging truths that I hope will be good for you. You may not really care all that much about Cornerstone, and that's okay. That doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure there's probably a reason that you could use encouragement today. I'm just guessing, because we're all people. So, two encouraging truths, and these apply to those who are trusting Christ. These are foundational. These are true of anybody who trusts in Christ, and this is meaty stuff. This is not, don't worry, be happy. This is not, it's going to be okay. Just like, okay, how can you say that? This is meaty. This comes from here, and it really means something. So, I hope you will absorb these two encouraging truths. So, are you ready? Do you want to know what they are? Anybody want to know what they are? If you don't, we can just go to the pool. You know I'm going to tell you anyway, because I have a slide for it. All right. So, two encouraging truths. Number one, as a child of God, you can be sure that God is doing something good in you. As a child of God, you can be sure that God is doing something good in you. You might be facing obstacles. You might be facing frustration. But from God's word, we know God is doing something good in us. You can hang on to that. You can bank on it, whether you feel like it or not. You're going through different stuff from the person next to you. If you're married, you're kind of going through the same things probably. But we're all on a unique path, and some of us just feel overwhelmed. But what I can tell you with absolute confidence is God is taking you someplace good. And here's how I know. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the day of Jesus Christ? That's the second coming when he comes again. He said he's coming back. Came the first time. He's coming a second time. So all the way to the end, he who began a good work in you will finish what he started. That's the promise. God's going to finish what he started and the result will be good. You can hang on to that. You can put your confidence in that. If you put your trust in Jesus, God began a good work in you. That's how you know. You put your trust in Jesus, he begins a good work. And if he begins something, he will finish it. It's a guarantee. God never lies. He never goes back on his word. And God doesn't give up. God doesn't give up. How many of you have a project at home that's been sitting and is collecting dust that you haven't touched in a while? And you have these every once in a while guilty feelings about, I probably should get to that. I have had a motorcycle in my garage, non-functioning. I've been paying registration and insurance on it for no less than 5 years. Until I finally gave it to someone who might use it. So I don't have it anymore. You know what? God doesn't have any projects like that. And you and I, if I'm looking at you, you and I are two projects that God is working on, that God will not turn his back on. They will not collect dust. He will finish the project. There's no such thing as an abandoned project from God. I like that. You're lucky that I'm not God, okay? We're all lucky that none of us are God, right? This verse tells us that. Starts out being confident of this. We can be confident that if he started something in you, he will finish it. You're God's project. Our hope is in God. It's not in us. You're not your own project. There's work we have to do. But I'm God's project. And so are you. God's going to finish what he started. So if you feel stuck, if you feel like you don't understand why your life is going down this path and you had a different path in mind, don't trust your own understanding because life doesn't usually make sense. God takes what doesn't make sense and he turns it into something good. And he unties the knots that we and other people create. You've created any tangles out of your life? Never. Never. I just kind of thought about fishing. And I thought about these tangles. My kids are starting to get into fishing, so I'm teaching kids how to fish. So I brought this example because my kids, they need to learn how to fish, and sometimes it's patience building to do that. And one of the things you need to learn about fishing really early on is that the end of that fishing rod is something you need to watch because they just, you know, walk around and they do this kind of thing. And it only takes a few seconds to create a 10-minute knot, right? Because there's a hook on the end and, you know, you hold it up and you're not even thinking. You're walking through the woods to another place and somebody's going to have to untie that knot sometime. It's not going to be me. I'm just going to cut the line. That's what I do, cut the line. But we do that with our lives, right? Sometimes I'm taking my kids fishing. I spend more time doing that stuff and putting new hooks on than fishing. But we usually catch something. But that's what we do with our lives, right? Put the fishing aside. And we're good at forgetting the end of our rod and making these knots that we don't know how to untie. I could open up for testimonies. Anybody have a knot you want to talk? No, we're not going to do that. But when we're doing that, when we're creating these knots, we don't even realize it. It just sneaks up on us, and all of a sudden, there it is. How did I get here? We don't realize it. And sometimes other people might see it and try to point it out, and we don't want to listen. We just tend not to listen to that. But aren't you glad that God is a patient father? And when we get ourselves tangled up, if we ask him for help, he will help. He will untangle the knot. And or maybe he won't untangle it. He'll just create a masterpiece out of me. Like, whoa, that's what you were doing. But if you're a child of God, God is doing a good work in you. In you. And Philippians tells us God won't stop until he's finished. So God is doing something good in you if you are a follower of Jesus. So stop just for a minute right now and think about, what is God doing in me? And you might be thinking about the tangled up knot. You can think about that. Or maybe you've gone a little further and you can say, no, I can see this is something God is doing. Just take a minute to think, what's he doing in my life? Or what might he be doing in my life? And then we'll go to the second one. Encouraging truth number two. Sorry, I had a picture for you. This is on vacation. We did have a good time fishing with cousins and caught some catfish and trout. I like that. Anyway, encouraging truth number two. If you honestly live your life for God, he will do something meaningful through you. Not just in you, but through you. God is doing meaningful things through us. Now, there's a condition linked to this one. You see what the condition is? Let me show you the scripture, because we don't want to just go on the words that I put up here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So God wants to do something meaningful through us. What's the condition that will open the way for him to do something through us? You see it? See the condition in the verse? It has to be labor in the Lord, right? Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's got to be in the Lord. So what does that mean? What is labor in the Lord? So is that like the church puts out a sign-up list for, we need help in the nursery, and we need help with snacks, and we need help with greeting? Like, is that labor in the Lord, what you do on Sunday to help out? I mean, it counts, yes, but this labor in the Lord is way, way bigger than that. Labor in the Lord is not just what the pastor asks you to do to help out. This is way bigger. Way bigger. Let me just give you something to think about. Sorry. I thought I had another sentence here. It's missing. Here it is. Okay, you're going to have to hear it. It's not up there. Labor in the Lord is anything you've done because you want to please God with your life. Is it there? You saw it? Nope, that's not it. Back. There we go. Thank you, Nicole. I give you the clicker. Labor in the Lord is anything you've done because you want to please God with your life. Anything. So think about it. That includes getting a good night's sleep. If you want to do something for God with your life, you need rest. That includes eating healthy so you have energy with your body. That includes doing the best job you can at work if it's because you want to honor God with your work. It includes the email you send to a friend because you think they might need encouragement. It includes so much stuff. It includes the conversation you have with your neighbor about spiritual things. It includes that. But it's so big. But it comes down to, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you want to please and honor God? Because all the things I listed could also be in vain. If you get a good night's sleep because you just care about sleep and want to, you like to rest, There's nothing that has to do with God. If you eat healthy because you want this beautifully shaped body, that when people see you, like, whoa, that's not exactly labor in the Lord. So that it's the same things can be either forever lasting and worthwhile or wasted. The same stuff. The question is, why are you doing it? If it's labor in the Lord, if it's because you want to please God with your life, it will not be wasted. Nothing that you do that's for God, for His honor, is going to be wasted. If you're doing it for Him, it's not for nothing. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is a very logical statement. Those who work at Wall Street, those who are analytical, this is a wise statement. This is what you should give your life to, the work of the Lord, because that's what will last. You pour yourself into something else, it won't last. Nothing else will last. So you can think about it that way. That's okay. Now I want you to think about it from a personal point of view too, though. What do you think about that verse? Is that really true? Is it really true? Do you believe that promise is true? Not every Christian believes this is true. Some of the most faithful, hardworking, long-standing Christians have stopped believing that. And some of you want to believe it, but the way life is playing out just doesn't seem to make sense, and you don't see how this could be true. So I want to slow down here and talk about, okay, how do we know that's true? How can we hang on to that and really believe it when my circumstances don't seem to be jiving with what that says? Paul's the one who wrote this, and he's saying pretty confidently, this is the reality. This is true. So how did he make such a confident statement? How does he get this? How can he say, you know this? First word of the verse, therefore. Okay? This is kind of a principle of studying your Bible. Therefore is a hint. You need to look at what was before. What was before? Maybe you heard the saying, if you come across a therefore, find out what it's there for. That's stuck with me. It's very simple and kind of goofy, but it's good advice. Find out what it's there for. Therefore, that word belongs sandwiched between two related thoughts. So there's a related thought that tells us why and how this is true. So just think about the word therefore for a minute and how we use it. So I'm going to give a couple of examples, just current examples. Back in Kutztown, renovations at the high school are not complete. Therefore, the first day of school will be delayed by 2 weeks. Not actually true. It was really close. They still have a lot of work to do. Therefore, this one is true. I can't find anybody who'll take away my old refrigerator for less than $75. Therefore, it's still sitting in my yard. Therefore, that's why the stinking refrigerator is still in my yard. You can talk to me after if you have a solution. Let's get back to the Bible, okay? Stop distracting me. When you find a therefore in the Bible, it's sandwiched between two related thoughts. So in this case, what's the related thought that goes with this promise and the hope that we have here? You know what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is about? Anybody? No idea? It's a good thing you're here. The whole chapter is about resurrection. It's about resurrection. Jesus rising from the dead. It starts out with Jesus' resurrection, talks about how he literally rose from the dead, how hundreds of people saw him, and then how he promises, you who put your hope in me, you will also rise from the dead. Resurrection is the cause for the therefore. The fact that Jesus had authority over death, and he promised that we can be raised from the dead, Jesus has authority to make a statement like this. That anything you do to please God will not be in vain. That's what he said. Anything you do to please God will not be in vain. So what does not in vain mean? We need to be clear about that. At the very, very least, not in vain means that God knows, he sees, he values it. And when he sees you doing something for him, whether everybody else misses it or not, he sees it. And this is God. He is pleased with you, whether anybody notices it or does anything or not. If that's your heart and that's what you're doing, he notices. And that's a pretty big deal, because when it comes down to it, that's really all that's going to matter when you stand before him. That's the very least that this would mean, that your labor is not in vain. But we will go to the next verse that I put up already, Galatians 6:9. This is another one. You might want to hang on to this one. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Anybody need that encouragement? Don't become weary in doing good. At the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So, okay, God notices. He is pleased. But the reward for doing things that please God is not just some trophy way off in the distance in eternity. It's not just that. It's partly that. But God is also committed to raising up a harvest out of your labor in this life. God will raise a harvest. That's a good thing if you do not give up. So again, there's a condition, right? The condition is that you don't give up. Don't give up. If you're frustrated, if you're stuck, keep going. Keep working for God. Keep doing it for him. And so this is for those of you who are doing that. If you do, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Anybody interested in a harvest from God? Anybody want that? That'll never let you down. This is worth keeping on going. And you need to understand God's perspective of things, because God may string your labor with someone else's labor, and it could span generations. But your labor will not be wasted. There will be a harvest. Hebrews 11 talks about all these generations, and they didn't quite get everything that was promised because God's waiting for something even more. But harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Your labor's not wasted. Harvest is coming, and you get to be part of it. So it may not be, I want it now. It doesn't always work that way. But if you're struggling, don't give up. And I don't know who here needs that reminder, maybe more than anybody else today. But I understand there are times when we want to give up. We just are tired. Not only is God doing something good in you, but he's looking to do something meaningful through you. If you're focusing your energy on living to please God, your struggle, your frustration may be because you're not living with a focus on pleasing God. You have to look at that. But if you are, he's going to do something good. He's going to do something good. We need this because we all want to see progress, and we get easily frustrated, and it's not going the way I wanted it to, and I don't feel productive. Sometimes you don't feel productive, right? Things are just not happening the way you want. That's how life is sometimes. God's timeline is different. I don't always feel like I'm making progress, right? Sometimes you're doing all the right things for all the right reasons, and there seems to be nothing to show for it. Okay, that's encouraging, right? But it's real. Isn't it real? Don't you feel that way sometimes? My wife has an aunt and uncle who they were great parents. They were excellent parents, and their kids are all adults now. And they were, as long as Ann can remember, they lived for God. Their life was for God. When the kids were in elementary and middle school, the husband, her uncle, became a pastor. He's been a pastor ever since. But they got some tough, like, what are you doing, God, kind of things. As their kids grew up, every single one of them walked away from God. Every one of them. And one of them is a walking disaster right now. He is a walking disaster. His life is a wreck. Another one is a partial disaster. She's leveled out a little bit, but is still far from God. And the third one, she may be doing a little bit better. It seems like she's come back. But so you look at something like that, you're like, how does that happen? And we want to blame, oh, they must have done this wrong, or they must have done that wrong. We can't say that. And I think probably one of the biggest nightmares a parent can have is that their child destroys their own life. That's what we parents fear more than anything sometimes. And so for my wife's aunt and uncle, like, that's been really hard. But they're not giving up. I sent a prayer email out to my global prayer team, and my aunt, my wife's aunt, gets this, and she sent back 1 Corinthians 15:58, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep going. In spite of some really difficult challenges, they're not giving up. They're still going. And we and they need to understand their story's not done. Their story's not done being written. But you look at a situation like that and you're like, okay, Galatians 6:9, does that possibly fit them? We will reap a harvest if we don't give up. It does. This applies to everybody who's a follower of Jesus. We gotta link into that. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I don't know what twists and turns God's taken you through. I don't know what he's got going in your life, but he's going to use it for good. And, you know, this harvest thing, we don't get to choose what that is. We don't get to decide what the harvest is going to be. We know that if it's from God, if God's behind it, it's going to be good. So that's reason enough to not give up, to hope in God, to keep going. Anybody been encouraged by any of these scriptures yet? We're not quite done, but we're almost there. Some of you might be in a situation, you're like, this is not helping me because I'm just too far underwater. You don't know my situation, Pastor Nate. I feel like a hamster on a wheel. I'm just spinning and spinning. I'm doing everything I know to do, and I'm pretty sure I'm doing it for the right reasons, and I'm just spinning. Some people feel that way. Hamster on a wheel, any hamsters? If not now, you've been there, right? You've been the hamster on a wheel. Trust me, I know what that feels like. I do. But this is what I want to say to you. As long as what you're doing for God, keep doing it. Keep going. Don't give up. Think about the hamster. Hamster on a wheel. We don't understand. God is amazing. He can use the wind generated from your hamster wheel to affect somebody's life. So who's feeling the wind from your hamster wheel? The next time you're in that situation, just like, this is so frustrating. Nothing is going right. I'm spinning and spinning. Who's watching you? Because if they see your perseverance, if they see you going through that and they watch you, their life can be changed as they see your faith in spite of the answers you want now. But I want to give you something a little bit better than that. Because of Galatians 6:9, I believe this is also true. If you don't give up, there will come a day when you no longer feel like you're spinning on a hamster wheel. You're going to feel like you're running and awesome things are happening. You're seeing spiritual fruit. You're experiencing God use you in some powerful ways. That day is coming for most of us who don't give up. It's not a guarantee that every single one of us will see this amazing time of spiritual fruit, but this is what God wants to do. And so if we don't give up, if we keep going, this is likely to happen for us. God's the wind at our back, keeping us going and bringing the harvest. I don't know where we are as a church right now, but we may be right on the cusp of that. Keep going. Don't give up. There's a harvest coming, and it's coming soon. We have to keep going because of that, because God intends to bring harvest. And the way he's opened doors for us in our community is taking our breath away. It's crazy what he's doing. So I want to encourage us as a body, keep pursuing God, keep serving him. Don't let discouragement rob you, because harvest is coming. And with our bigger perspective on eternity, right, the resurrection, we will be raised. Even if I don't see this awesome, amazing harvest in my lifetime, I'm going to get a front row seat, and I'm going to watch the next generation as it comes to pass. We get to see from our study on heaven and hell, and there are scriptural reasons, you can talk to me later, that we can see God working even after we leave this world. So keep that in mind. God is bringing a harvest. My wife's parents are an amazing example of this right now. They're in Zambia as missionaries, and they have been through hardship, decades of struggle, betrayal, more setbacks than advances. They have been through so much, but right now, God is bringing a harvest. Amazing things are happening. God is working. He's expanding their ministry beyond what they ever dreamed. People from faraway villages are coming to them, begging them to come and bring their message and bring their hope, bring Jesus with them. People are from places they've never heard of are coming, saying, we need you to come to our village in Zambia. It's if you read the book of Acts chapter 2, that's coming alive. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That is happening, and it is awesome. They're in it. But from a human perspective, they should not still be at the mission field. They should have given up a long, long time ago. But they didn't give up. And they get to experience harvest now. And it's awesome to find out about. They're coming back to the States in the fall, and they may actually share with us some of that harvest. I'm asking them to, so they have to say yes. I'm their son-in-law, and they have to keep on the good with me. So don't give up. Whether you're encouraged or discouraged today, if you're feeling stuck today, put your hope in God, because he's up to something good. That's what God does. That's what God does. So I believe these scriptures can be some real encouragement, real hope for you if you take them in. They're not just true. They're true for you. They're true in your situation if you're a follower of Jesus. So I hope you've been blessed by some of these scriptures and you'll keep churning them in your mind. But we want to help you keep churning them, so we have next steps. On the back of your program, if you got a program, there are just two. One is to memorize something that encouraged you this week. Carry it with you. Let God keep encouraging you, keep feeding you with it. And number two is to go for a prayer walk where you recommit, God, I'm going to keep doing good. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust you to bring in the harvest. I don't know which one of those would be better for you right now. But we're just going to take a minute for you to think about it, pray about it. And maybe there's something else God's prompting you to do. Write that in and do it. Take a next step. Let it sink in. Father, I pray that you would encourage every person who's here today. I don't know what exactly they're facing, but whatever giant they may be up against, you're bigger. We know that. So God, let these scriptures just sink into every person here, that they would be real, not just words on a page, but that they would be spoken to their heart, and that it would be real, not just something they look at from a distance. Your word is alive and it's meant for us. So let these truths and this encouragement penetrate. No matter how discouraged somebody may be today, or if they are encouraged, that they'd be encouraged in the right things. So thank you for our great hope, which is in you, always has been, and you are faithful. So we recommit to trust you and keep going, and keep serving you, knowing that harvest is coming, and we don't need to know when. In Jesus' name, amen.